Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the TGS Q3 2013 results webcast presentation. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Barbara. Hello, and welcome to the TGS third quarter 2013 conference call. My name is Robert Hobbs. I'm CEO of TGS, and joining me on the call today is Kristian Johansen, our CFO, as well as Will Ashby, our Director of Investor Relations. Earlier today, we posted our third quarter earnings release and webcast of the results. I hope that you've had an opportunity to view this presentation, and we'll now just give a brief summary of the results and before opening the call to your questions. In the third quarter of 2013, TGS had total net revenues of $191 million, down 22% from 1 year ago. Late sales remained strong in Q3 at $138 million, compared to $139 million last year. This demonstrates that customer demand for our high-quality data library continues to be high. Net pre-funding revenues of $43 million were down 56% from Q3  2012, funding 39% of the company's operational multi-client investments during the quarter. Multi-client investment totaled $111 million in the quarter, down 19% from Q3 2012. Proprietary revenues of $9 million were up from $7 million recognized in the same period last year. Our resulting operating profit was $80 million, representing 42% of net revenues, which was up from a margin of 41% last year. Cash flow from operations was $118 million compared to $34 million in Q2 2013 and $129 million in Q3 2012. Earnings per share were $0.54 a share compared to $0.71 per share in Q3 2012. TGS had 4 3D vessels and 2 2D vessels and 1 land crew operating under its control in the third quarter. We were also a participant in 1 2D marine joint venture project and 1 electromagnetic survey joint venture with EMGS. In the Central Gulf of Mexico, TGS continued acquisition of the Amerigo 3D survey and was also able to commence acquisition of the Francisco 3D survey. Reprocessing of the Hernando and EMC surveys in the Gulf of Mexico was performed utilizing both Clarify and high-resolution TTI anisotropy. These projects all help to cement TGS's position as a dominant multi-client company in this important region. TGS had significant activity in eastern Canada during the quarter, where data was acquired in the northeast Newfoundland Flemish Pass region in the Labrador Sea in partnership with PGS. This is proving to be a prolific region for oil discoveries, with Statoil announcing another success, the Bay du Nord discovery, just last month. North of Alaska, TGS has made good progress acquiring in the Chukchi Sea, which will position us well for licensing rounds expected to begin in 2016. TGS continued acquisition in the Barents Sea with the 9,000 square kilometer Hoop Fault Survey. With the completion of this data set, TGS will have almost 20,000 square kilometers of high quality, modern 3D coverage in the very attractive Hoop Basin, where the recent Wisting Central discovery was made. TGS also participated in a CSEM survey in this area in partnership with EMGS. TGS commenced a 3D survey in the Rhoda Ridge area of the highly prospective UK West Shetland Basin. Data will be available to customers ahead of the expected UK 28th licensing round. We also performed 2D marine surveys in Denmark, Greenland, and Sierra Leone during Q3, targeting future licensing rounds. Our onshore multi-client business saw its first new U.S. onshore project of 2013, which is located in Cheyenne County, Colorado. This survey is focused on unconventional liquids plays in the Mississippian and Pennsylvanian aged rocks. We expect to have 2 crews operating in Q4 with acquisition scheduled to complete in the middle of the first quarter of 2014. We have today announced three new projects in Eastern Canada, Gulf of Mexico, and the U.S. onshore, which gives investment visibility in Q4 and on into 2014. We continue to develop attractive investment opportunities while capacity to execute on those investments is at a very high level. Yesterday, our board authorized management to buy back approximately $5 million U.S. dollars of TGS's share during the fourth quarter. Management will begin starting to execute on this authorization. On the 8th of October, we provided updated 2013 guidance to the market and indicated that our focus on quality had resulted in TGS foregoing or postponing a number of low pre-funded projects where the risk of achieving the required return was deemed too high. We also highlighted that permitting delays had been experienced in key geographical areas. We reiterate this 2013 guidance today as follows. Multi-client investments of $400 to $440 million U.S. dollars, average pre-funding in the range of 40 to 45% of investments, and this is narrowed from our previously guided range of 40 to 50% of investments that we had at the end of Q2. An average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 40 to 46% of net revenues, and net revenues in the range of $810 to $870 million U.S. dollars, of which approximately 7% will be from proprietary contract projects. At this time, we'll open the call to your questions. Please press star 1 to pose your question. Barbara, I'll turn it over to you now.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll take our first question today from Andrew Dobbing from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of questions from me, please. First, you mentioned delays to projects or permits. I think you said this was particularly evident in Australia. Do you think this is creating any pent-up demand, or is this more of a recurring trend? And secondly, you said you're stepping away from investments where which do not fit with your returns criteria. Are you seeing any evidence of others that are willing to go ahead and do this work with lower returns? Thank you.
Yeah, Andrew. I guess in reference to delays in projects, I think we have specifically said that some of those delays are waiting for regulatory authorities in certain areas to grant us seismic permits. I think it's fairly well known that, and this has been published by folks in regards to Australia, over the past I'd say 1 to 1.5 years, there have been additional regulations put in place in Australia that have caused delays in the permitting process, not only for seismic companies, but also for operators, oil and gas operators. You can look at our 2012 activity and recognize that we were quite active in Australia acquiring 3D data, and we have yet to announce anything in 2013. So. While we don't specifically talk about individual projects, I think that conclusion could probably be made from the fact that our activity was very, very slow in 2013 versus 2012 in that particular region, and then the information that was published regarding the current permitting situation. Now, there are signs that that's changing, specifically in Australia. There has been a recent governmental change there, and we are seeing signals that that the situation may change for the better in that particular region. I think I would characterize, you could also look at our newly announced onshore activity, and I think that we haven't really kind of ramped up our U.S. onshore activity until the latter part of the third quarter, early part of the fourth quarter, where we were expecting to start some of that activity earlier in the year, and has been a factor in terms of our guidance on our re-guidance on investments most recently. Again, I don't think that this is necessarily a recurring trend specifically. I think it's a trend that we're seeing in specific areas of the world, and so I think it's just something we're going to be struggling with, and the industry in general is going to be struggling with, and we'll get through it. We just need to do the proper planning and preparation and the proper discussions with the authorities in these jurisdictions and governments to get our work properly permitted.
Okay, thank you. And on the investments, I'm just wondering if you're stepping away from work where the returns aren't fitting your criteria. Are there other people, other your competitors, willing to go ahead and do that? So, I mean, does it mean you're going to be losing market share over time in the multi-client market?
No, I wouldn't assume that at all. I think we're not going to comment on the activity and the philosophy of our peers in the industry on their multi-client activity. It's really not our place to do that. But I think that we certainly look at let's face it, we're more or less a pure play multi-client company. Every one of our employees focus on this, and this quarter 93% of our revenues came from this business. I think that's quite different from some of the other players you see in the industry, and that causes the folks to philosophically think about the multi-client business quite differently if you have assets to manage and assets to utilize, and which TGS doesn't have. We look at our multi-client investments as investments of our shareholders' capital, much like you probably look at your business when you're evaluating equities, and we look to return a superior return to our customers. And we want to invest in projects if we can't meet those hurdle rates. So I think that's all we can probably say about that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from John Olsson from ABG. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Houston. Is it possible to quantify how much of the multi-client, lower multi-client investments that was due to postponement, and how much was due to worse risk reward for you guys on those projects? The midpoint was lowered by $135 million, which was quite a lot for the only half a year.
I don't want to give you a number, John. This is Christian. What I can say is that you can see from our investments last year that we did in, for example, Australia, that we had quite significant investments in three different 3D surveys in the region. You would probably expect us to have a similar type of activity this year if we had permits. But this has slipped out in time, and we were not able to do any new acquisitions in Australia this year.
One of the reasons for asking is more like the current speed of multi-client investments going forward, and also for what kind of multi-client investment level we should expect in 2014. I know you haven't given any guidance on that so far, but is it possible to elaborate a little bit on what you think about 14 in general? Is the starting point what you're actually investing in 13, or should we assume that is actually a little bit higher, and if we assume the market to grow a little bit, we should expect you to grow from a higher level than what you actually report investments for 13?
Well, I think we're getting ready to, you followed us long enough, John, where you know kind of our budget cycle, and we're in the middle of that right now. We're getting ready to, starting this afternoon, we're going to start meeting with our management team over the next 3 days and evaluating and looking at their investment proposals in 2014. We'll come out in early January with guidance for 2014 on our investments. I think you've seen, just today we announced three new projects that will take us into 2014, so we already have some pretty good visibility on activity that goes into the year. I think that, as I referenced from the previous questioner, We are seeing some regulatory changes in Australia, and it's our hope that we can get our growth plans going back in that region again. It's a very attractive region that tends to have a lot of exploration potential in areas that tend to be data poor. So, I think, but we'll be happy in early January to come back with investment guidance after we've had a time to had a chance to take the budget in front of our board and get board approval in December.
Okay, and then a question of regards to note number 4 in the segment information of the quarterly report. You can see that revenues from Africa, Middle East, and Asia Pacific was only $3 million, and year to date it's been 58. And the operating profit in the first half was a loss of 14, and it seemed to indicate a write-down. So one, the is that true? It was an extraordinary write-down in that part of the world in Q3?
I can comment on that, Jon. First of all, if you compare it to Q3 last year, you will see that our revenues in the region have dropped significantly. So 3.1 this quarter compared to 51 in the same quarter last year. The reason for that was that we had this big survey in Angola and also a couple of 3Ds in Asia Pacific at the time last year. While this year we haven't had any acquisition activity, so the number you see are basically late sales for the third quarter. When we report such a negative operating profit, you could assume that we've taken some impairments on some projects. This is something we typically do every quarter on small amounts. It becomes very evident this quarter because we had so low revenues. So typically in the normal quarter you would see impairments, but you wouldn't really recognize that from the operating profit because revenues would typically be much higher.
Yeah. And may I ask, in this quarter, was it a forced write-down due to the minimum amortization, or was it more prudent from your side?
No, I think it was the latter. I think it was more a prudent attitude from our side. We want to make sure that our library continues to stay in a very healthy condition, and we certainly believe so.
And my final question is regarding sales investment ratio. Of course, the two key things to follow when we make estimates for you guys is the investment level and how many dollars we assume that you generate in revenues for every dollar invested. And that sales investment ratio has been below 2 for some years now. Just how should we think about it? If investments are flattening out for the next couple of years, is that the time when we should expect the sales to investment ratio to jump above a 2 to be more in the 2 to 2.5 range that you expect? Or could that happen even if you increase investments?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we were to reduce our investments, or if investments were to flatten out for a couple of years, you would certainly see an improving sales to investment ratio. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we can continue to grow our business, and we can't run our business based on short-term sales-to-investment ratio. So, yes, I think you're right. I think if we were to flatten out our investments or even reduce our investments, that would improve that multiple going forward.
Yeah. Right, that's all for me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Rob Pullen from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon or good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from our side, if we may. First of all, it seems to be that the industry is increasingly favoring the sourcing of seismic data on a multi-client basis rather than contract, which obviously very much validates your model versus some of your competitors. At the same time, do you think that is going to lead to more competition in future on multi-client surveys, in particular trying to get pre-funding in versus maybe some of these vessel owners who are doing more multi-client, partly because contract profitability is not as good as it was in the past? The second question is, obviously we're looking at a different earnings profile for 2013 than we had for 2012 and what was expected. You have a very strong balance sheet. Is there potential to keep the dividend flat year on year? And when could we hear about that decision? And I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah, Rob. On your first question, I think you're right. I mean, you're seeing a greater acceptance in many regions of the world in industry accessing their data through the multi-client business model. That's a good thing. I mean, the share of the multi-client business is increasing in the seismic business as being the what I would regard the strongest multi-client seismic player in the industry. It's good for us. Allows us to continue to grow our business with that increasing demand. I think the key to our business has always been quality, and that's not only quality of the investment when it comes in, you know, comes to return on what we invest into our business, but it also means quality to our customers. And what's extremely important to our customers, and we're seeing it, we saw it this last season, where customers specifically came to us and funded our surveys based upon what they saw as superior technology. We saw it clearly in the Barents Sea this past season. And I think it's as long as we pay attention to the quality of the product that we deliver, which largely we assure through the processing technology that we continually invest in, I think we'll maintain our leading position in the growing sector. It also location is important too. So our project developers are constantly trying to stay, you know, more or less out in front of our customers to make sure that we have data available in the right basins at the right time. So that will be important. You know, in terms of the dividend, it certainly is the ambition of our board to at least maintain the dividend that we paid out last year. I think you know, that is certainly a goal that we will strive to obtain. We won't you know, I think that we won't come out and announce what dividend or what the board intends to do with any kind of dividend until March is when that's customarily done, when the board reviews our annual accounts and approves our annual accounts for the previous year. So you can expect to see an announcement about the board's intentions in regards to dividend in March of 2014.
Okay, both sounds very reassuring. And just one last question, if I may. Just noting the guidance for amortization remains 40 to 46% of revenue, but year to date it's only around about 40%. That implies quite a high amortization rate for the fourth quarter. Could I just ask why you expect that to be so?
We don't necessarily expect that to be so, but amortization is probably one of the more difficult numbers to forecast because it really depends on the sales mix of any given quarter. I think you could assume that it would not be at the top end of the range as it looks right now, but we didn't see any reason to change that after Q3.
Okay, very clear. Thanks, Christian.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Christopher Muller-Locken from SB1. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. In terms of the return requirements on multi-client, have you considered reducing them given the competition you see from other seismic companies?
Yeah, you know, Christian, thanks for the question. We evaluate our business on a portfolio basis, and it's our objective to reach our 2 to 2.5 times return on that portfolio as a whole. So it means that sometimes we are approving projects that model out with returns quite a bit higher than that, 3, 3.5, and in certain areas we find very high quality investments where we might approve a project with 1.7 times return, 1.6 times return. But the fact is on a project like that, we might get very heavy pre-funding up front such that the rate of return is quite high on something like that. So the mix of projects that we're working on and investing is obviously different in any given point of time, but it's our ambition to build this portfolio that delivers that communicated rate of return that we tend to communicate.
Coming back to the competitive landscape here, have you seen that your competitors seem to require a lower return requirement or a higher risk than what you deem acceptable for your part?
Yeah, we don't like to really to try to guess what our competitors are doing. I can say that there have been a number of competitors recently that have started projects that we wouldn't have started just because it didn't really meet our financial hurdles.
It's been fairly quiet on Stingray. Could you update us on the market outlook for that part of your business?
Yeah, we continue to believe that oil companies are going to utilize geophysical information more and more on their fields, in particular deep water fields, and we believe that the technology that we've developed and continue to develop within Stingray is perfectly suited for that. In terms of the reliability of a system over 10 to 20 years, the 10 to 20 year life of a field. That's required for a permanent reservoir monitoring project. It's new technology. It's only been utilized in the oil and gas space in two fields. I would say, still permanent reservoir monitoring continues to be a new technology in general. And we believe we have the right technology. We believe that we have the right people developing this, and there's a lot of customers that are still asking us to come in and to show that technology and speak to them about this technology. I think the oil industry, historically has been it's tough to sell new technology to the oil industry and we're going to keep pushing. I think we've always seen this as a long-term investment, so we never saw it as an investment that would have necessarily a quick hit. But we do see it as an investment that is going to have a real future because, oil companies have to look at increasing their recovery factors in the fields that they produce over time.
Is it fair to assume that the Angola survey you did last year is part of the 2013 vintage? As it was completed processing this year.
No, we're still in fact processing on that data set, Christopher. So that's not part of the 2013 vintage.
Okay. And finally, how do you view a multi-client investment opportunities in northern Brazil?
I think that area is interesting. You saw the 11th round in Brazil in March. A number of companies took blocks there with the intention to acquire 3D data on a multi-client basis. We've evaluated, we've looked at a couple of potential projects up there. Obviously not prepared to announce anything. We do have an office in Rio that where we have manpower that is assisting us in developing projects in that region. So obviously you can assume that we've been looking at opportunities up there, but we just haven't been prepared to announce anything today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from Caroline Hickson from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. My question is just on the breakout between land and marine revenues, if you're able to give that. And equally, if I look at sort of your vessels and land crews you've secured for the fourth quarter, it looks like that's going to be your investments will be quite heavily skewed to the land side. Could you just give some more clarity on that, please?
I can do the first part of your question. We don't split out the land revenues in our reporting. So I think the best thing you can do is to look at the segment information in Note 4 in our earnings release document, and you will see that North and South America, where you also find land, had a very strong Q3 2013. But that's given the fact that we didn't have any acquisition activity on land until the 20th of August. So we only had about half a month of acquisition activity in the land space. So you could probably assume that the contribution from land is relatively low in Q3 2013 versus Q3 2012, where we had more activity in the land space. But all the numbers are sorted under North and South America.
On your second question, Carolyn, you can refer to page 28 in our presentation. And you're correct. We've announced several new projects in Q4 in the onshore space. As Christian referenced, we started with one crew in mid-August in Colorado. We have followed that up in early Q4 with a second crew. So we actually have two crews operating on the Cheyenne project, as shown in that on that graph on that page. And then we've announced two projects in Western Canada, Three Hills and Pendrell, this morning announcing Pendrell. And then this morning we announced Rush Creek. So most of the new investments we've announced is in the onshore space, and that's to be expected, particularly in Canada, where the acquisition season is in the winter season when you don't have agricultural activity, and the ground freezes up there. I wouldn't necessarily rule out and assume that we wouldn't be announcing any marine projects. We're still in the first month of the fourth quarter. But I think it's from what we published and what we've announced so far. Clearly, we're ramping up our onshore activity in Q4.
Okay, thanks. And in terms of the pre-funding, I mean, I understand that you do typically look for higher pre-funding for the onshore project. So would we expect to see that tick up in the fourth quarter?
I think that certainly, we do tend to see higher pre-funding on onshore projects. It all has to do with, with the mix. I mean, that's offset sometimes by projects that we do in the marine space where the economic returns are superior, but we tend to have lower pre-funding. So it's hard to make a direct assessment of that, but I think from the chart, certainly we have more onshore activity in Q4.
Okay, thanks. And I don't suppose you'll tell us where the sort of impairment was in the Africa Asia Pacific region?
No, we don't describe specific projects that where we adjust amortization on those.
Okay, that's all for me then.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you. There are no questions in the queue at this time, but as a final reminder, please press star 1. As there are no further questions in the queue, I'll hand the call back over to your speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate everybody calling in and viewing our earnings release this morning. We'll be looking forward to speaking to you again formally in January, where we'll be issuing our guidance for 2014, where we see a lot of opportunity in this business, and we're quite excited about our ability to expand our investments in some very interesting regions of the world. And I personally am looking forward to the next 3 days where we get together with our management team to look at some of those projects in 2014 in detail. So look forward to sharing with you some of that in January, and thank you again.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.